When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we are talking about Paddington, Paddington 2, and Wonka. What? Three movies? Why are we talking about three movies? Because they're all directed by the same person, Paul King. So we just decided to have a little bit more background to our thoughts about Wonka by watching the previous Paddington, very successful Paddington movies.
And I think we had discussed talking about Paddington, the Paddington movies, for a while now. We just never really had a reason to talk about them until Wonka came out. So it's a little random. I think it's random, but we're talking about them now.
Yeah. So you watched them back to back, right?
Don't even ask me what was going through my head. I think it was the night that the Taylor Swift album came out. Like my roommate Casey was going to be in their room listening to the new album. They were like, nobody talk to me. I have to listen to the new album. And I was like, all right, I'm going to marathon Paddington. we're all doing our own thing tonight. I'm gonna marathon Paddington 1 and 2 in one night. I guess that's going to happen. Because I've been putting these movies off for... I didn't want to watch these movies, Alessandra. I really didn't.
Why? What's wrong?
We're gonna talk about it.
Okay.
I think I'd seen Paddington 1 or bits of it. I don't think I'd ever seen the entire movie, but from what I've seen, I was like, I don't think these movies are gonna be for me. I'll tell you why, we'll talk about it. I don't think my computer is plugged in, so hold on, let me just double check that for a second, because I don't want my computer to die while we're recording.
So I remember seeing the trailer for Paddington. The first movie came out in 2014, and it's clearly based off of a children's novel that's really popular in the UK and in the United States called Paddington Bear. It's not a novel, it's like a children's book, right? I think it's just the first one is setting up the Paddington lore. He is a little Peruvian bear living in the jungle, and his aunt and uncle dream of going to London, and so then it becomes his dream after his uncle dies. And so he gets off of the train in Paddington Station with like a tag on his neck, and it's just endearing. I mean, what is there else to say? He's a lost immigrant in a big city, and you know, he meets a bunch of characters that sway in the direction of they don't like him, or they love him, or they have mixed feelings about him. And someone wants to taxidermy him in the first movie.
They sure do. And the explorer in the beginning of the movie is none other than Tim Downey, who is the voice of Gale in Baldur's Gate.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I didn't know that. I recognized him like the second I saw him. I was like, "Oh, that's Tim Downey." Because I've seen some of his TikToks come across my For You page. I don't think I follow him, but I've definitely seen some of his. So I knew what he looked like, and I was like, "Okay." And then because I was listening to him, and he kind of sounded like Gale in the movie, but not like too much. But it was mostly because I knew what he looked like. So I thought that was pretty fun. But yeah.
Yeah, you You'd like, he's in a bunch of stuff I've seen. I mean, just go check out his stuff, but you'd like Toast of London because he's in that. He's funny.
I do still need to watch that. That is on my list.
It's just amazing, honestly. So yeah, like, there are a lot of British actors in these movies. They are just, you know, the best of the best. Like, they're all, you know, really highly trained, highly skilled actors being in a children's movie. So that's, like, really endearing in its own way. You know, Julie Walters, Hugh Bonneville, Sally Hawkins, Jim Broadbent, Imelda Staunton, Michael Gambon as well is in it. And then, of course, Ben Whishaw is the voice of Paddington, and he has the sweetest little baby bear voice anyway.
And so. And our very own Nandor the Relentless was in the first movie for like a second.
Nandor De Laurentiis.
De Laurentiis, yeah, exactly. Very much a star-studded cast. Very, very good cast. It's very endearing. I can see why a lot of people enjoy these movies. I definitely
with kids.
Yes, the kids specifically. I liked the second movie a lot better than the first movie.
Same.
The first movie just kind of felt a little aimless to me. It was really just Paddington fucking things up. And I really disliked that. I was like, okay, yeah. can we get to something a little bit substantial here? Like, I liked the plot twist of, you know, Nicole Kidman's character, you know, being the daughter of Tim Downey, and her kind of wanting to exact revenge on, basically this. Her father, because he didn't do what he like kind of said he was gonna do, and which was all right. I think the villain in the second movie was a lot better and kind of a better fleshed out, like, story wise and stuff. It's just the movie was very exhausting, and I didn't have a good time watching it. I really didn't. So it didn't set me up well for starting the second movie, which I don't think I have seen at all. Again, I think I've seen bits and pieces of the first movie, and I don't think I had ever seen the second one. So
people do say that the second one is better than the first one. Like, it's one of those situations where, like, Paddington 2 got the highest marks and Paddington 1 is, like, still good, but it's not Paddington 2.
It's good, but it helped lay the groundwork to kind of add on to us a better second movie. Like, it's they're kind of like putting the feelers out, seeing how people think of this character. And because even I felt like the chemistry between him and the family could have been a little bit better. Like, again, he just he spent so much time, like, faffing about that it just we could have been spending time, like, connecting with this family. We could have been spending time, like, you know, maybe delving a little bit deeper into Nicole Kidman's character, which, I mean, whatever. These are just options. These are options that could have happened.
Yeah. And it's kind of like the standard format where somebody joins the family. The dad is really grumpy about it. The mom is like some artistic, like, you know, whimsical mom, and the dad is kind of like a grumpy middle-aged dad, and then they've got the two young kids who are just, like, you know, bright and full of energy. And
Alessandra, it's like, Alessandra, we need to pause. For some reason, my computer is not charging, and my computer will die. So I need to figure out why it's not charging.
Okay, why don't we take a pause We can restart the recording? Okay.
Okay.
We are back from Emily trying to figure out how to plug in her computer. Glad we got that sorted. things happen.
Yeah, for some
sometimes.
Reason my outlets aren't working.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to go check that out after this.
Yeah.
But we're good to go. We're good to go until this episode's done.
Did Paddington get to your outlets? Did Paddington get to your breaker, Emily?
I think it did. I think Paddington fucked up my electricity. He must have done something, because it's not working. It's not working.
Yeah. So I think what I was talking about earlier was the fact that a lot of these characters are quite like, you know, like a family that we've seen before, with the like kind of bland dad and the artistic mom and the bright young kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or like the moody kids. The moody kid or the,
yeah,
you know, the teenage kid and then the young whimsical kid.
Yeah, like there's just like a lot of belief. Like, it's just kind of like the same blueprint. But, you know, I think this definitely, like, because people in England, I fear, are differently, like, their idea of comedy is different than us. I just, not that that's a problem. It's just the way that they...
It's just different.
Yeah, like, the way that their comedy is not for everyone. And they find things more funny or endearing, I think, than American audiences sometimes.
Yeah.
With whimsicalness.
Yeah, I mean, there were some pretty good one-liners in these movies, like some of the kind of out of context, but like not knowing the full context of things, like things that Benoit Shaw would say as Paddington,
yeah,
was, you know, very endearing and very cute and often very funny. Like he was very sassy and but not like knowingly, mm-hmm, was sassy. And I want to say that this was kind of like a slapstick a little bit,
yeah,
just with all of the shenanigans happening.
Absolutely.
But again, I was getting secondhand like anger from Hugh Bonneville, because right, it's like this bear is damaging my house.
I mean, the water in the bathroom situation, mimicking the Shape of Water situation where an entire bathroom will get filled with water and then explode.
Yeah.
It's not one of my favorite tropes, because I just dislike when things... It's just one of those fantastical parts of the movie where it's like, of course he absolutely water damaged their beautiful home. And of course I would be angry about it too.
Yeah, and then, like, he catches it on fire later because of his little scuffle with,
yes,
Nicole Kidman's character, and it's just constant. I couldn't wait for it to be done.
I'm sorry that you went through that and then immediately watched the second one.
Then I was like, well, I got this far. I did, again, I appreciate the short runtime, mm-hmm, for both these movies. They didn't feel like they were too... The first one maybe felt a little bit too long, only because there was a lot of meandering, and I just felt like it really wasn't utilizing its time very well. But the second movie felt like a really good amount of time. I think we really get... We get introduced to a lot more colorful characters, but I feel like they were more well utilized in this movie,
mm-hmm,
in the second movie. And again, Hugh Grant, I feel like has turned into one of those actors where I'm like, he's a good actor, but like his movie choices lately have made me question whether I want to see them.
Yes.
Because I feel like he's been choosing kind of bad movies to be in lately.
Yeah.
Not Paddington 2, obviously. Like, I thought his character was very good. He was a really good villain. He was very charismatic, and he was very, conniving. Like, he was very good.
And all of his different characters I really were enjoyed fun. It.
They were really fun.
He would, like, talk to himself in the mirror and...
Yeah, definitely had, like, a multiple personality disorder going on.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah, I loved the second one because I thought the screenplay was actually really good. Like, in general, it's kind of got this mystery flair, this, like, How are we going to solve the problem of Paddington being framed?
Solve the problem of Maria?
Yeah. You know, Paddington was framed for stealing this book that he's been working hard to buy. And he's in Wes Anderson jail. So he has to, like, you know, make friends with all of the...
Oh my gosh, you're right.
All he's of the in inmates.
He is in Wes Anderson's jail. Oh my God, you're so right. This was like the most stylish jail that like could have ever... Like, oh my, it literally just came out of Wes Anderson's head. Oh my God, you're totally right. That was amazing.
You know, he accidentally dyes all of their outfits pink because he's doing the laundry, which, again, laundry shout out to Wonka.
You see, that was a charming mess up.
Yeah. Because
it was like, okay, no one was physically harmed. There was no damage to someone's property. Like, this is fine. This is fine. The part that kind of got to me was the haircut place. I was like, oh God, do not give this bear a job, please. Oh gosh. Oh no.
Him washing the windows was pretty funny.
That was cute.
Yeah.
I liked that. He was good at that. There were some funny moments. Again, no one was harmed. It didn't bother anyone else.
Yeah.
It was just purely... There's something... I don't want to be mean, but there's something off-putting about how Paddington looks.
Like, I wasn't anticipating you saying that. What's wrong with his face?
He makes me uncomfy. Mm. He makes me uncomfortable.
Is he too skinny? Does he need to be fluffier?
He looked mangy.
Mangy. Yeah, okay. So he does need to be fluffier. Like,
he didn't look cute to me. He looked.
I mean, I didn't notice, but...
He looked sickly. He looked better in the first movie. I mean, I'm sorry, he looked better in the second movie. The first movie, he just looked... He looked too realistic. Like, I wanted... I guess I was just kind of hoping for, like, a little Pooh Bear character, maybe. Like, something just a little bit more... Like, again, this is like, a fantasy, like, whimsical movie. Like, the bear can look a little unreal. Like,
right.
He looks like a
real bear, which is kind of
He looked real,
right.
Which is fine, but, like, he looked a little bit too, like, maybe Uncanny Valley a little bit. Mm. Like, I don't know, I didn't like him. I don't like him.
He's not cute enough. And I think he needs bigger eyes because he has anatomically correct
eyes.
Yes,
his eyes were too beady.
Bear eyes are that small. Like, he looks this is average bear, you know? So I think that they could have gone with a little bit cuter, like a little bit more bigger eyes, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. I think so.
I really loved the cast for the second one. With the addition of what's his name? Oh my gosh, I'm trying to find Hugh Grant, obviously. And then also the cook in the jail was played by Brendan Gleeson, and he was amazing and so funny.
Yeah, Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah. Domhnall Gleeson's dad.
Oh, I didn't know they were related. That's cute.
Yeah. And also, like I said, the plot, the writing, it was so interesting. Like, they have all sorts of different locations in this. It's like, I felt like they put a little bit more money into it than the first one. There's just more fun costumes.
It felt a lot more, like, it felt a lot more built. Like, there just was the, like, I liked all the addition of the neighbors. Like, they were all very cute. Mm-hmm. And their little storylines. Like, I just thought it was a lot more imaginative as well. Like, just a lot more thought and care went into the second one.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the success of the first one, sometimes things are a little bit, you know, they can get too hokey, but like I said, like, they just wanted to have fun. So they were like, what do we want to see? We want to see Hugh Grant dressed up as a nun or a vagrant or, you know, all of these, like, little, like, this mystery to try and, like, solve, like, this, you know, book that is actually a map to the city. And then you read the notes and it's the organ on the, in the circus, you know, it's like, it's fun.
Yeah. The scavenger hunt. I liked the recurring, the recurring joke of the security guard who was attracted to both Hugh Bonneville's character in a lady costume, mm-hmm. and then Hugh Grant's character in the nun costume. the guy from Ghosts,
uh-huh.
Simon Farnaby.
Yeah. He's also in Wonka.
Oh my god, you're right.
He's briefly in it. Well, he's in it.
Oh my god, the scene.
He's also a security guard in Wonka too.
He is a security guard in Wonka, and the scene I was thinking of in Wonka that he was in, I thought it was in Paddington. Oh my god, these movies are all the same. Just like mushing together in my brain.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay.
So let's read a little bit of trivia from the first Paddington. How about we do all the Paddington stuff and then we take a break and then we talk about Wonka? What do you think?
I think that sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Obviously there's going to be quite a lot of trivia here because it's an older movie, but we'll just pick a couple of these. Karen Jingle, the daughter of Paddington's creator Michael Bond, was almost moved to tears after the first screening she saw. For me, it was bringing to life the bear that was so real to me, and I think they got it absolutely right.
Very nice.
That is very so nice. Cute. People are very close to Paddington as a character in the UK. Hugh Bonneville says that it's part of the DNA, and it's in every childhood that everybody loves Paddington. So,
kind of like how Winnie the Pooh is in a lot of childhood, like people's childhoods, like in the US as well.
Yeah, but that's also a British like creator is too. I think so.
Oh.
Let me see. The original made by A.A. Milne and illustrator E.H. Shepherd. Yes, character inspired by a stuffed toy that Milne bought for his son at Harrods and the bear they viewed at the London Zoo.
All right.
Yeah. So, pretty sure it's also British, but definitely feels like has more of a, because Disney made Winnie the Pooh, that we have that as like our, like that's a really American feeling kind of thing for us.
Yeah. This is kind of a fun one. Nicole Kidman learned how to throw and twirl knives for her role as Millicent. So that's cool. And they told her to tone down her knife throwing tricks. She was considered too intense.
She was really intense.
She was pretty intense. Yeah. She was really intense. Like, she was a little scary.
Absolutely.
I will say these movies have made me want to try a marmalade sandwich.
Right. Sure.
So you know how to make I'll let you guys know if I end up doing that. Would it be like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or is it just like
it's just marmalade,
not toast, like just regular bread with just marmalade on it?
It's just
like not toasted bread.
It didn't look toasted to me. You watched them make it in jail.
You're right. I did. I don't think it's toasted, but I think I would toast it. I think I'd make it more like toast.
Right.
Toast with jam on it. I don't think I would make it. I'll let you know. I'll let you know what I end up doing. I'm going to let myself have some creative liberties here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. That's your, you should. I'm sure that you would love orange marmalade.
Simon Farnaby was a writer for Paddington 2?
Okay.
Was he a writer for Paddington 1?
Don't think so. There is a lot of trivia in here, so I just can't really choose one, to be honest.
Yeah, this is fine. We could see what the Paddington 2 trivia says.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, let's do that before.
Oh wait, let me do the plot keywords.
Yeah, let's do the plot keywords and read some of the Paddington 1 medic scores.
Oh yes, okay. So let's see. We've got, so for the plot keywords, we have where are they? Oh, here they are. Sorry. Bear. Okay, here they are. Bear, Paddington Station, London, talking bear, taxidermist, title spoken by character.
Okay. It's not bad.
All right. That's, sure, that's the movie.
This,
I'd say.
First Paddington got 77 Metascore with 35 positive, 3 mixed, and 0 negative reviews. The lowest ones are 60s, and the highest one is a 100. Just one 100 for this one, though, from Empire.
All right, well, let's go down here to the 60s. We've got a couple to choose from. I'm going to do the New York Times. In stark contrast to their furry, blundering star, the makers of Paddington have colored so carefully inside the lines that any possibility of surprise or subversion is effectively throttled.
Oh, yeah. That speaks to me.
Yeah, like just it was very... It was very straightforward, kind of, like, no, like, really big surprises. Like, just, yeah, it was very, it was, like, it was exhausting to me. Like, the first movie, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm gonna read the 75 from Rolling Stone. It says... It's funny, so is Nicole Kidman. Very Cruella de Vil as Millicent Clyde, a taxidermist with an eye on adding Paddington to her stuffed collection. It's an excuse for some chase scenes and physical comedy. Paddington gets his head stuck in a toilet bowl. That managed to suggest both the Marx Brothers and Wes Anderson. I mean, that is a good thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Valid. Valid. Valid.
Very valid, very valid.
And the 100 from Empire says, marble-laden with gloriously silly jokes, pitch-perfect performances, and incidental detail, this is a warm, witty, and wondrously inventive great big bear hug of a movie.
Marble-laden.
That is...
Get out of here.
So funny. Okay. We...
Get out of here.
...are gonna talk about, the... Let's check out some of the Paddington 2 trivia. This first one is very interesting. Paddington author Michael Bond died on the last day of filming and 6 months before the release of this movie at the age of 91. His last book about the title character was released in April 2017. Books on Paddington have sold more than 35 million copies throughout his career.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
One day after completing her demanding underwater scenes for The Shape of Water, Sally Hawkins flew from Toronto, Canada to London, England to begin production on this movie, only to find out she would have to shoot underwater scenes for this movie as well.
She did! She had to...
She went save Paddington.
When the train car went into the water. Oh my gosh.
You know, what was going through my mind when that happened was Paddington was at the bottom of the train and, like, it stuck in there. And he was saved by his friends... from jail, which managed to get into the water very quickly from their plane that was also a plane that could land on water and get down there and save Paddington. But the whole time I was thinking, I'm sure he's going to be just fine. He's a stuffed animal. And then I was like, oh no, he's actually a real bear.
He's a stuffed animal. He doesn't actually need to breathe. No, he's a real bear.
He's a real bear. Oops. I messed up. Hugh Grant's favorite movie.
This is Hugh Grant's favorite movie?
Oh, the one he's made. Gosh. The one he's made. I mean, honestly valid. Like, he gets a pretty good role in this. Like, he gets to have a lot of fun and play a bunch of different characters and dress up in different outfits. I'm sure he had an excellent time.
And I'm sure Hugh Grant really enjoys, you know, playing these kind of quirky, kind of charismatic characters. Definitely seemed very fun.
After several months of speculations in October 2015, it was confirmed that writer-director Paul King would return to helm the second installment. By the time the sequel was announced, Paddington had become the highest-grossing independent family movie of all time, the highest-grossing movie in the UK amongst all 2014 releases, and the first family movie in 10 years to be nominated for Best British Film at the BAFTAs.
Wow.
People love Paddington.
So you keep telling me. I don't get it.
He is endearing, okay? It doesn't stress people out as much as it stresses you out.
Probably not in my defense, but I'm not a huge, huge fan of Winnie the Pooh either. So I just think lovely, cuddly, cute bears are just not my thing. So that's probably definitely a me thing. Let's see.
The sequence in the barbershop was based on the original Paddington story, Too Much Off the Top. So that one's based off of a story.
Okay, that makes sense. That seemed very storyboarded.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. In a funny Easter egg for the adult viewers, look closely at all the old photos of actor Phoenix Buchanan are actually genuine original photos of Hugh Grant earlier in his acting career.
Okay. Younger man.
I like this one. The scene where Paddington winds around the clock gears is similar to Charlie Chaplin in Modern Times. Yep. And at the end, he has a grease like Charlie Chaplin mustache that he wipes off. Was very good.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that must be Modern Times.
That's what I thought of as well. Adorable. Yeah. This is kind of so interesting. Vladimir Zelensky, the current president of Ukraine and former comedian and actor, is the Ukrainian voice of Paddington in the Ukrainian dub of the film.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, apparently Zelensky also played somebody who was the president of Ukraine in a Ukrainian sitcom, and then they all voted for him to be their real president.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I know. Plans for a third movie in this franchise were announced in June 2016, several months before this movie started filming. Although production would not officially be scheduled to start in 2022, an extended delay caused by 2 years of the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're going to get another one of these movies. What the hell?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
What?
How come we haven't heard anything?
I don't know. Maybe because of Wonka.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Okay, let's go on to the plot keywords, which are probably similar, right? No, they're actually very different. Wow.
They are different. Irish wolfhound, bear, escape from prison, Paddington bear character, and snow adventure.
What's the Irish wolfhound part?
What's
the snow part?
His dog. His dog that he rides to get the book.
Oh, that's an
Irish wolfhound.
Yes, he does ride that dog.
Yeah, but what's the snow adventure?
There's like no snow in this movie.
I don't know. Yeah, right? There's no snow. When is there snow?
There's no like winter stuff going on.
Snow adventure. Is it in a flashback?
Oh, you know what I was going to say about this movie? I actually cried at the very end when his aunt came. His Aunt Lucy came to the Lucy! Front door. And the whole movie really had a beautiful thread through it because he really wanted to buy this nice gift for her, which was a London pop-up book. And he just kept talking about how he didn't want to let her down. Then the end, she'd
done so much for him when he was a cub. Yes, this I really liked the through line of, you know, the motivation for the second movie was just showing Aunt Lucy how much Paddington appreciates her and everything she's done for him.
Don't even. And, she's turning 100.
And I really wanted, like, I was a little sad that it ended just with her at the door.
Me
like,
too.
Like that was a good ending, but I wanted like a little, like at least just like a little scene of them showing her around London. Like I wanted to see that. We went through all of this.
Yeah.
Rickmarole.
I know.
We went through all of these shenanigans to not get the book. And then she ends up in London. And we don't even get to see her see London.
We don't even get to see, like, photo, like in the credits, like, photos of them together.
Yeah, that would have been good. At least have, like, little photos of them. This third movie better be all about Aunt Lucy and Paddington, like...
Yeah.
Like, getting into trouble around London. Like, that had better be what this third movie is. Do we deserve it? We deserve that.
This movie got an 88 Metascore with 38 positive
reviews. 10 above the last one.
Yeah, 38.
I'm sorry, 11. 11.
Positive reviews, zero mixed and zero negative reviews.
77 and 88. Yeah.
The lowest reviews are 75s and the highest are quite a few 100s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 100s.
Wow. Okay, let's see. Scrolling on down. Okay. Oh, goodness. So many 75s. Oh, my. Which one do I want to read? I'm going to read. Yeah, that one's lame. I don't want to read that one. No, I don't like that one either. Okay. Okay. Here, I'm going to do the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
All right.
Give it a 75. The sequel has the same tone as the original, but is livelier and funnier, mostly due to Hugh Grant, who gleams as the bad guy. Hugh Grant does gleam as the bad guy, but, like, I would say it was mostly due to Hugh Grant. I mean, there were a lot of really great additions to the second movie mm-hmm. that just made it a lot more livelier and funnier. And, you know, Hugh Grant was definitely one of them, but was not, like, the sole reason.
Yeah, I'm going to read this 91 from IndieWire. It says, Paddington's ability to positively impact people is so profound that it can't help but stretch out towards the audience, too. We may know that being kind and polite doesn't always set the world right, but damn if that little bear doesn't make you want to try.
That's very cute.
And it really helps because he's, like, cute, even though you don't think he's cute. But kids will watch this and be like, as long as I'm nice and polite, people will be a little nicer around me. So... that's good, too.
Yeah. And it's no, I'm sticking to it. I don't think he's cute.
This 100 from Screen Daily says, an exemplary sequel, the film retains the innocence and beguiling lack of cynicism of the first film, but moves on to explore other motifs.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
I'd say so. It's beguiling.
Oh, beguiling. My Ooh. Goodness.
Knocked over my
what?
Microphone.
Such words.
I know. That was crazy. Okay, so let's take a break and then we can discuss Wonka again briefly. Not too much in detail because I don't think I can. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Okay, we are back to talk about Wonka, also directed by Paul King, and that's why we're talking about it today. We didn't go see this.
That's why we're lumping these movies together.
We didn't see this in theaters, even though I did want to because, you know, Timmy is my love. So, of course, I was like, I want to support Timmy or I want to see what he's in. As Wonka, you know, there is an element of the original movie where he's kind of a little off-putting and in the best kind of way, I think, Gene Wilder's version. And they used a lot of the same tropes in this movie to, like, make it seem like he was gonna maybe become somebody like Gene Wilder. But it just didn't really, like, feel like that was the way that they really wanted it to go. I don't know. Like, prequel-wise, it just didn't, it didn't hit that way. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna chalk this up to, like, Paul King just makes movies about things that I don't care about. I can definitely appreciate the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie with Gene Wilder. I was never really into the remake with Johnny Depp. I know that's a lot of people didn't really like that one. I don't just feel like Willy Wonka is not a character that I gravitate towards or care about. I like Timmy. I want to support him. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't see this in the theater. I'm glad I didn't spend my money on this. I didn't like it. I thought it was garbage. I thought it was absolute garbo.
I mean, okay, let's just...
The songs were exhausting. Yeah. They weren't memorable. The characters were not enticing. They were not charming. I didn't care about the story. I didn't care about anything that was happening.
I know.
I wanted it to stop the second it started.
I know. Yeah.
I don't really know what else I can say about how much I didn't like this movie.
So...
I quite personally never want to see this again.
So,
but okay, listen, hold on.
I mean,
I put this movie on while I was at work, so I was barely watching it, and I told you that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I rewatched it because there were a lot of things that I missed from not paying attention to it.
Absolutely.
In the office.
Yes,
like there were a ton of things that I just completely. I didn't even know that they talked about his mother. I didn't know he had a mother.
Wow.
To me, the character of Wonka is an alien who comes to Earth and makes a chocolate factory. Like, his candy is otherworldly. He is not human. He is something
else. And the way Gene Wilder plays it,
he is a mythical being.
It's, like, very alien. So, like, I totally feel that.
He's not real.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, to me, that is the character. Timmy was trying to be a bit too realistic, I think, and that's where I kind of wanted him to just be a freak.
Absolutely. And a weirdo.
Like, that's what I wanted. He wasn't enough of a weirdo.
Oh,
like, he
absolutely.
Needed to be an absolute freak.
I know.
And he wasn't.
That's my thought, exactly. There was so much about this where I was like, you need to be off the wall about that, buddy. Because, like, I just don't. Why else would I care if you're not just being the strangest dude possible? And
if you're not being a deranged, like, mentally unstable, like, chocolate factory owner who's, like, murdering kids and maiming kids, yeah. Like, why am I here? If you're not hurting children, if you're not, if kids are not weirdly disappear, like, if this isn't on the verge of being a horror movie, why am I here?
Because this is a family movie.
Oh, Paul, you didn't get the assignment, all right? You didn't get it, all right? I'm sorry.
I can't
support you in this.
I think the thing I did not like the most about this movie was the CGI impeding on the beauty of the Italian real life sets that they were on, which were the positive things about this movie. But then the CGI of the candy and the strange mechanics. Now, that is where I have a problem, because if it was, oh, this is a, like, an illusion or something where we actually get to see how things are made, like, specially, and it's kind of involved in the magic of Wonka becoming who he is, not just, like, a fully formed version of Wonka as he appears in this movie as a young man. Like, he has to figure it out. Like, that's what I wanted to see him, like, experimenting. And like you were saying before we talked about this movie, like going to places and trying new like flavors and seeing like and meeting new people along the way to like develop his chocolates, you know?
Yeah, he talks about all these weird like seemingly mythical places where he's visited like to collect all of his ingredients to make these like magical chocolates. Like I would have rather seen that. Just meeting these crazy characters and these like amazing places that we can only imagine. Like that, I would have loved to have seen that and not whatever this was.
Yeah, I mean, this was very much an ensemble cast that I did not anticipate. Which is kind of annoying because Timothy isn't really, like, in my opinion, like, he's not on the screen enough. Like, it's a lot of other people. And it's, like, so much about the environment and, like, the, you know, chocolate, like, mafia situation that's happening. And, like, just the other people who work with him at this inn. And the crazy characters there.
Yeah, these trapped people who signed the contract and are stuck working there for the rest of their
lives.
For
Olivia Colman. Like, I get it that this is like a kind of, it's like a similar vibe to like what they're trying to go with Paddington 2. Like an ensemble cast where the person who's introduced to their world changes their lives. I mean, yeah, right?
Sure.
That's like kind of sure. The idea. So he just like shows up and tries to change these people into better.
And that's kind of how the original movie is too. It's like he changes these people, like one person's life, or he changes these people's lives by giving them a tour of his factory. It's like, but then like I wanted to know like kind of how he became a shut-in, like the fact that he never let anyone tour his factory.
Yeah,
like if there was something. Like, I liked that they at least tried to make some lore in the Johnny Depp version where, like, his father was a dentist and he didn't want him to have any sweets. And so he kind of had this, like, dueling preference to, you know, loving chocolate and wanting to make people happy and give them chocolate. Like, having this, like, this mental duel with yourself. And where it's just this one, it's like, I had a very loving mother who disappeared somehow. Did she die? Did she just disappear? Like, I was so unclear. And I was like, what?
Also
did
played
she just
by
leave
Sally
her?
Hawkins.
Did she stay on the planet and he flew away? Like, I don't know.
That would have been great.
Like, what's the lore here? There wasn't enough, like the charm of the original movie is that we don't know anything about this character. We just know that he's kind of crazy and like, and that's fine. But like, if you're gonna go through all of this, what's the word I'm looking for? If you're gonna go through all of these measures to like give us some sort of lore, like give us lore that matters. Like not whatever, not Noodle's lore. Like Noodle was cute. And it was
the main character. Little
side story.
I'm serious.
But like, this movie isn't called Noodle. It's called Wonka.
Like, I know.
Give me the bet. Like, show me this planet where this alien is from.
And this actress who played Noodle, Kala Lane, she was acting a little butt off. Like, she was carrying this movie. Like, straight up.
She was. Like, even Timmy got a little, it was something exhausting about his character too. Like I wasn't here for it. Sorry, love you Timmy, but you weren't, wasn't happening.
He's not strange enough. Like they didn't write him to be strange enough. Like I feel like Timmy was trying, but like he just wasn't hitting it. Like he's trying to wow people. Like if Wonka was an alien, and he didn't understand social cues and whatever, and like brought something, like was just pretending to be a human. Like that would have been just so much more interesting. and like, yeah. It just was so off-putting, and especially with like just the random like throw in of the disregarded Oompa Loompa. And like, I don't know.
Yeah. So Hugh Grant's Oompa Loompa was
uncanny and uncomfortable and like not cute.
Hard to look at. Yeah. Paddington was cuter than this Oompa Loompa. I will say that. I will admit to that. I did enjoy watching Hugh Grant sing the Oompa Loompa song. The Oompa Loompa, Doompity, whatever.
Yeah.
I did very much enjoy that. It was very funny. His whole story of him being banished because he allowed Willy to steal the cocoa beans while he was on watch. And then he like has to spend his time like chasing after him. Which, if Willy had no money, how was he still able to make chocolate?
Dude,
like this made
I
no sense to me. I was like, you have no money. How are you doing this?
I know.
Like, how do you just have chocolate to keep making chocolate? I don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't like it.
I had. You know what it was this movie, I was excited for it because I love Timmy, and then the first trailer came out and everybody was like, ooh.
Brother, ew.
They're like, is this what we really wanted? Because, like, nobody said that we wanted this, you know?
No one wanted this. You know what? You shouldn't have made Wonka, and you should have just made Paddington 3.
Listen to this trivia. Timothy Chalamet admitted that he was initially skeptical of the movie. Like many people, there are remakes. I feel very protective over the original character and the versions you love. Your eyebrows go up with skepticism about whether this is a legitimate, worthwhile story or a cynical money grab. I don't think he believed it. Like, I didn't believe him. I was like...
And I kind of saw it in his acting that he wasn't putting his all into this.
He wasn't like, being Paul Atreides about this, okay? Like,
no. No. No, he was not.
He was not. Like, he didn't know what to do with the character because the director didn't know what to do with the character and the writer didn't know. Like, why? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Completely. Completely. Yeah, no, yeah.
Nah, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Listen to this other one. Okay, Hugh Grant was openly critical of the amount of green screen work he had to do for this film, saying it was like a crown of thorns, very uncomfortable. I made a big fuss about it. I wouldn't have hated the whole thing more. Frankly, what I did with my body was terrible, and it has all been replaced with an animator. And it should be fun, but it was done by the animator. It's very confusing with CGI now. You can't tell what's going on. I slightly hate making films, but I have lots of children and I need money.
He has lots of children? How many children does Hugh Grant have?
I don't know. That is the funniest quote I've ever seen.
I'm Googling this right now. Okay. How many children does Hugh Grant have? Oh my god, how many? Come on, give me a crazy number. Oh, he has 5. All right.
That is a lot of kids.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot.
He also phoned it in. My god.
No one liked this movie.
No, a lot of people liked this movie.
No, I didn't like it, and I'm everyone, so no one liked this movie.
No, the British loved this movie.
Oh, God, British people. God. Gah. I'm not gonna finish that statement. Okay, let's just continue.
Jim Carter and Rowan Atkinson also appeared in The Witches from 1990, another Roald Dahl adaptation. Oh, we love that movie.
Which one?
The Witches.
Oh, yeah. Witches was fun.
Yes.
I like that one.
Remember we watched the remake of that? Go listen to that podcast.
Yeah. Did we like it? I can't remember.
I think we were meh about it.
Yeah, probably. I like this one. The Big Night Out chocolate works in similar principles to the three-course gum.
Mm.
In this case, invoking all of the joys and embarrassment of a night out on the town. I like that scene.
Yes, that was cute.
You know what? I would actually... out of all the candy that was unveiled, I would want to try this one.
Yeah.
I would want to try this one. It sounds like quite the time. Quite the experience. I would probably also try the three-course gum, too. That one always sounded really interesting.
It did, except for the part where you turn into a blueberry.
Yeah, let's not have that part.
And when he gets the... Willie opens up the chocolate bar given to him by his late mother. Inside the wrapper is a note written on shiny golden paper. Obviously, call him back to the golden tickets. Very cute.
Sure does.
And, you know, Sally Hawkins just appearing. Because he was like, she's going to appear to me when I've made it. And it's like, okay, that's what we're hinging this movie on. That's the emotional side of this movie. That and Noodle finding her mom.
I mean, if any of us were to just see Sally Hawkins out in the wild, we would know that we've made it. Because she's a treasure. She's a treasure to this planet.
You're right.
I love her. I think she is adorable. And I love her to bits.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do the...
Let me do the plot keywords.
Yeah, plot keywords and the Metascore.
All right, we've got Willy Wonka character, prequel, origin story, genius, greed.
Okay. That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Sure. Yeah, I'll allow it.
This movie got a 66 Metascore with 46 positive, 15 mixed, and 3 negative reviews. I just want to note that the first Paddington got 77, the second Paddington got 88, and this one got 66.
Damn it, we should have done Wonka first, so we could have done...
It would have gone up in order.
Yeah.
Well.
In ascending order. Okay, let's
see. The lowest ones, what do we got here, Emily?
Show me the red.
Oh.
We've got a 37 and a 30. Those are the two.
Yeah, read both.
Oh, and we got two 37s.
Read all. Read all of them.
What a weird... All of them?
Yeah, read all of the bad ones.
So the Hollywood Reporter gave it a 30. Young audiences may well be enchanted, but I'm sad to report I found the whole confection sickly sweet and hopelessly twee.
Mm.
All right. Washington Post gave it a 37. Here, Willie's pure sponge sugar with none of the complex ingredients that make a movie soar. Relatability, humanity, and foibles.
Yeah.
And then lastly, The Globe and Mail, Toronto, gave it a 37 as well.
Oh my God.
Chalamet seems to be a Gene Wilder fan, but he can't live up to the original Candyman. He's flat, and he's grating, and he can't sing a tune. The heartthrob is best off on the sands of Dune.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah. This 40 from the Austin Chronicle kind of says the same thing. It says, It takes only moments into the film when star Timothy Chalamet first opens his mouth to sing to discover Wonka's two fatal errors. The songs are not good, and the guy singing them is even worse.
Oh, poor Timmy.
He doesn't deserve that. They just shouldn't have made him sing.
No, they shouldn't have.
This Arizona Republic 60 says, it's a chocolate whimsy-filled film that gives Chalamet a chance to show off and that makes it worth sitting through at least once, maybe even twice. What?
Oh, God, no! No! Absolutely not. Oh, my gosh.
So many of these ones are from very reputable sources. So I don't know where to go with this. Honestly, I'm going to read the Observer 80, if you don't mind.
Okay.
It says, Wonka is an effervescent pleasure, an endlessly intricately charming treasure trove of a movie, and overall Timothy Chalamet's fresh-faced take on the central character, bringing a puckish innocence and a spry, light-footed energy to one of the most famously jaded misanthropes in children's literature, works rather well.
Oh my gosh. They put more effort into that blurb than they put into this movie.
Okay, which one were you going to read?
I was going to read the BBC 60 because you said the Brits love this movie, so I wanted to hear it straight from the Brits' mouths.
Yeah.
So let's see. Gave it a 60, yeah, which isn't proving good.
No.
Overall then, Wonka seems to be straining every sinew to be the best possible family entertainment at cinemas this Christmas. Well, that was lame.
Yeah.
That was probably the worst blurb I've ever read.
I'm going to pick one of these 100s. There's three of them.
That's three too many.
The Guardian says they enjoyed this movie more than the earlier versions.
Stop lying!
What?
You're straight up lying, Peter.
The Telegraph says, like any good chocolatier, King has obsessively focused on texture and flavor, and it's those qualities tuned to mass market tastes yet held in connoisseurish balance that give this film its irresistible velvety sweetness.
Shut up.
It's just, yeah.
I'm mad.
I know. I know.
Connoisseurish? Shut up.
We're just like all in right, a negative mindset these days, I think. It's just like pulling us down. It's pulling us down.
I just can't get enjoyment out of simple things. Yeah, that's not true though. I get enjoyment out of stupid things. Just not this.
Not overly CGI things like this.
No.
Oh, you know what I did say? I told Danny what I said when this movie was over. I said to him, you know what? I wish that this movie was like, you know what did the CGI well was the movie Poor Things. I was like, I wanted Wonka to be as weird and as beautiful and strange as Poor Things. And then maybe it would have worked, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even think, like, what director would you want to work on a Wonka film?
Yorgos Lanthimos. Obviously.
Okay, other than Yorgos, Alessandra.
I mean, even a Wes Anderson Wonka would be better.
Ooh.
What? Who else? Ooh. Let's see.
Yes. I want that. I want that very much.
I mean,
you know, maybe even a Guy Ritchie. Like, I mean, that could be kind of fun.
The grittiness. You know, I would go more with like a Ryan Johnson, or what is his name? Ryan, the director.
Yeah. Ryan of Star Wars?
No. Yeah. The director of Knives Out.
Rian Johnson?
That's him, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
I would allow that. I would allow that. Make it kind of like a mystery. Make it kind of like a...
Not even.
Like a whodunit. Ooh. A whodunit. I mean, we know whodunit, but like...
I know. Just a little bit more going on.
That'd be kind of fun.
You know, a little bit more like... Puzzle piece. Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't know. Like, I'm just spewing out at directors now. There's just not...
Scorsese.
Spielberg, nah. Nah. Nah.
Nah.
You know? Nah. Not really what I want. Not really what I'm going for here.
You know, Wes Anderson, that was the best answer. I would like that very much, please.
Yeah, and he knows how to, like, direct his actors to be that perfect amount of awkward.
Yes, and weird, and just, like, kind of, like, alien-like. Like, they don't, like, yes. Yes! That's what I want.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Okay. I think we're done with this. We've been talking about it for over an hour, so.
Yeah, I think we've exhausted this topic. You know, Paul King movies, if you don't have anything else to do in an evening, sure, put one on. Not me again, though. I'm good. This was enough. This was enough for me.
For kids. Yeah, for kids, yes.
Yeah, you got a kid? You got a kid? Sure. Put this on. I mean, you could also put on literally any Disney movie ever.
Paddington is very cute. Read the Paddington books.
Yes, there you go. Read the Paddington books and watch the Paddington 2 movie. Just skip the first one. and you didn't even see Wonka doesn't exist. Don't even bother with that one. But yeah, that was... Oh God, that was Paddington 2, and Wonka. whether you wanted it or not, it's here now. You're welcome. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and IMDb. We are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, please do that at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. You could also follow our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we have merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.